In this study, we're going to look at the Catholic confessional, public confession, and Christians confessing their sins. Many people believe they're supposed to confess their sins to a priest in a confessional or anywhere else. According to the Bible, this is not so. Number one, the Bible says we have one mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." We don't get to God through a priest or anyone else. We get to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, a Catholic priest can't get us forgiveness. We get forgiveness by believing the gospel. Jesus died. He died for you. He was buried and rose again the third day, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. If you trust in that to save you, then you are saved and you have forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Catholics will confess their sins to a priest and then go to Mass, but then go right back to doing what they were doing until the next time. These things can't merit salvation. Salvation only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Pharisees knew in Mark 2:7, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" No man can get you forgiveness. To apply John 20:22 through 23 to us today is failure to rightly divide. Look at those verses, John 20:22 and 23. It says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." God isn't dealing with people in this manner anymore. Do you have the gifts the apostles had? Do you have the gift of tongues or of healing or the power to cast out devils like the apostles? If you say yes, then you should also be able to be bitten by a venomous snake and drink poison. That is also what the disciples were able to do in Mark 16. But 2 Timothy 2:15 says to rightly divide the word of truth. All the Bible is for our learning, but to apply the gifts of the apostles to ourselves today is a failure to rightly divide. People feel a sense of release when they confess their sins to another man, and this goes completely against the Bible. James 5:15 and 16 says this, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." And then verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Notice the verse doesn't say confess your sins one to another. It says faults. The context is about praying for a person to be healed. They are confessing their faults, not their sins. They're confessing their faults because it isn't them doing the healing. And they are confessing they aren't the ones with the ability to heal because they have faults. Many may not believe in a confessional where they confess sins to a priest, but rather believe in confessing sins publicly in front of a bunch of people. And this is a horrible idea. The only time you should confess your sins publicly is if it affected a whole congregation of people and they already knew about the offense, or if you have wronged an individual and they already knew you wronged them and it was going to affect your relationship with them, then you should go to that person, tell them about it, and get right with that person. And here are some reasons why confessing your sins to other people is wrong. Number one, people will lose confidence in you. Many times it is always hard for people to have confidence in someone anyway. If you get up and air out all your trash to that person, then they really won't have any trust or confidence in you whatsoever. Number two, people aren't like God. When you got saved, God forgave you of all your sins, past, present, and future. If you told a person the sins you're committing, they would never forget them like God would, and they would use them against you to justify themselves if they got the opportunity to do so down the road. Number three, if a man did a horrible sin such as fornication or whatever it is, and told another person, it puts filth in the mind of the man who hears it. It could put lustful thoughts into the mind of the other man. Why do you think Catholic priests are such sexual perverts? They are depriving themselves of a wife, and when they hear everyone's sexual sins, this will amount to nothing but sexual sin. In a time when everyone is on social media, people are airing out their dirty laundry to everybody. It is ruining testimonies, and it can ruin your family and the rest of your life. If you have sin in your life, there is absolutely no reason to let everyone know about it. If you're struggling with sin, then take it to the only one that can help you with that sin. Here are some reasons a Christian shouldn't worry about confessing his sins to priests or to the public. Number one, his sins are under the blood, because it says in Colossians 1:14. Isaiah 38:17 talks about them being behind God's back. Micah 7:19 talks about them, God putting them in the depths of the sea. Psalms 103:12 says they're as far as the east is from the west. John 1:29 says they're taken away. Hebrews 10:17 says they're forgotten. If you're saved, you believe the gospel, then pretty much in the doctrinal sense, God does not see your sin. You're basically sinless in the eyes of God. Not in the sense of way the holiness people believe, where people are sinless, we still sin in the flesh, but in a doctrinal sense, you're perfect and God sees you just as Jesus Christ. You have to remember your standing versus your state. There is no need of confessing your sins to an anger management group or AA meeting or priest at your church. But now that we know that we shouldn't confess our sins to other people, and confession of sins doesn't merit salvation, let's now look at how in our daily Christian life we should confess our sins daily to God only. When I say this, you're going to have a lot of people get upset and scream, Jesus died and paid for sins past, present, and future. And that is true, and I definitely believe that. And I'm not denying that at all. But the problem these people have is they don't understand the idea of fellowship versus salvation. They don't understand the concept of standing versus state. No matter what happens, doctrinally, after I have believed the gospel, I am saved and my sins are forgiven eternally. God sees me as Jesus Christ. I have imputed righteousness. My soul is cut loose from my flesh with the spiritual circumcision. When God sees me, he sees the new man. I'm born again. But when I was born again, my flesh wasn't born again. This means I will still sin and will never be sinlessly perfect until I get a glorified body. Since I still sin in the flesh, I need to judge myself daily. 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Every day, I will pray to God. I will say, Lord, I shouldn't have done this, and I shouldn't have done this certain sin. I will even ask him to get any devils out of me that might have attached themselves to me. We are living in a present evil world, and there is devils everywhere, and they can affect Christians. If I am not confessing to God the bad things I have done, then I am going to lose fellowship. If I have something in my life that is becoming an idol and I don't confess it, I will lose fellowship with God. When we sin, we need to confess the sins to God and forsake them. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I will stress this, the confession of sins and forsaking of sin is not for salvation. Confessing of sins is not for salvation. Confessing of sins is not for salvation. Is not for salvation. Is not for salvation. Now if you listen to this and tell me that I'm teaching works or that I'm relying on my works over the blood, then you're not listening and you obviously don't understand fellowship versus salvation. Right now, I'm not talking about salvation. If I fail to confess my sins to God after salvation, it does not change my relationship to God. I will always be a son of God. I will never lose my salvation. But if I don't judge myself, God is going to judge me and chasten me in this body. I will lose my health, my testimony, my happiness, my joy of salvation. I'll end up doubting my salvation, and I'll lose my rewards and any reign in the kingdom. At the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged for our service. If we live for the world and unconfessed sins, then we aren't going to get any rewards. There are people whose minds are blinded concerning this truth. They will never confess their sins to God because they say He's already forgiven them, which is true. We aren't saying they aren't forgiven. They will say they don't confess their sins because God already knows about their sins. Obviously, I'm not ignorant of the Bible. I already know God knows the sins we commit. He knows everything. He's everywhere. He's living inside you. He's living inside you right now. He sees you listening to this right now. I also know we aren't confessing those sins to get forgiveness. Sometimes we may have wronged our parents. They knew we did. But it is perfectly acceptable to go to them and confess what we did. Not because they probably already knew about it. And it's not because we want to stay their son. It's because we want to stay in fellowship. Even when you initially got saved and believed the gospel, you still weren't saved by confession of sins even then. You are saved by believing, not confessing sins. You couldn't even confess all the sins you've done. I don't believe confessing sins has any part in salvation at all. Let's look at 1 John 6:1-9, and we will see the context is fellowship. 1 John 1:6-9, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice the key word throughout these verses. John says the word "we" over and over. John is a born-again Christian who is already saved. Yet he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John is admitting to confessing his sins. Notice verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, making the context about fellowship. When we got saved by believing the gospel, we were washed in the blood and our sins were forgiven eternally. After we get saved, the blood can cleanse our mind of wicked things daily. And we confess our sins and God can renew our mind and we can have a daily cleansing that has nothing to do with being saved. Nothing. So don't say I'm saying that you have to confess your sins to be saved. If you're saying that, you're lying and you didn't listen. Your Christian life isn't going to grow if you are sinning every day, which all of us do. And never confessing those sins and not trying to do better is going to lead you down a road of no fellowship with God. Paul definitely taught that we need a daily cleansing of sin in our Christian life, not to cleanse our inner man because it's already sinless and can't be defiled, but our flesh is sinful and needs daily cleansing. 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Notice how Paul lets us know he is a sinner. Romans 7:17-20. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And then he says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul confesses that he is a sinner even after he's saved. Why can't you do the same? Here are some things that happen when we confess our sins. First, we confess our sins. When we confess our sins, we are admitting the Bible is God's word. We are admitting the verses about Christians sinning in the flesh are true statements. We are admitting that we have violated the instructions and commands that God has laid out in His Word. We are acknowledging that we are a sinner in the flesh. Number three, by confessing our sins, we are on the road to victory of those sins. If you continue to do a certain sin over and over and never bring it before God, how do you expect to get the victory? We can't perfect ourselves without that daily cleansing. I'm going to read that verse again, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Failure to examine yourself and acknowledge your sin will lead to sickness and death. Notice what happened to the Corinthians who didn't want to acknowledge their sin before the Lord's Supper. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:28 through 30, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Number four, it adds to your prayer life. Our prayer life should be made up of thanksgiving, supplication, and praise. Adding confession of sins to your prayer life just adds more time to your prayer time with God. Number five, and most importantly, like I said, it keeps us in fellowship. When a son disrespects his father or does something against his father's will, the son will go back to the father and say he's sorry, not for the purpose of remaining the man's son, but for the purpose of staying in fellowship. Once we are saved, a relationship to God will be a son of God for all eternity, but we can easily lose fellowship with God by not confessing our sin. It is true that we have forgiveness of sins past, present, and future when we believe the gospel. We are sealed into the day of redemption. We have our soul cut loose from our flesh in a spiritual circumcision, as it talks about in Colossians. So no sin is applied to our souls like it was before salvation. But we are still sinners in the flesh and need to deal with those sins by confessing them. Not for salvation, but for fellowship. And now let's go deeper into the consequences of not confessing sins after you're saved. Remember that our flesh is wicked and sinful. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive rewards or lack of rewards over things done in the mortal body. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." If you are staying in unconfessed sin, you are going to lose rewards and millennial inheritance. Our sins, after we are saved, are no longer consequences to the soul, but rather to the body and spirit. The soul can't be defiled, but the body and the spirit can. Your flesh and spirit can become filthy. As we said before, according to 2 Corinthians 7:1, you can be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, like the guy in 1 Corinthians 5:5. Your conscience can be seared with a hot iron, 1 Timothy 4:2. You can be destroyed for defiling your body, 1 Corinthians 3:16. You can be denied fellowship with other believers, 1 Corinthians 5:11, 13. You can be chastened of the Lord, Hebrews 12. You can sin against your body by fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Unconfessed sin takes a toll on you. It doesn't affect where you're going when you die, but it can affect your health, your wealth, and rewards. We sin constantly throughout the day. We should try our best to live like Jesus Christ. And when we don't, we need to confess the things we've done wrong. I even say to the Lord when I pray that I'm sorry for any sins of ignorance, and to bring those sins of ignorance to my attention so that I can stop doing them. But I hope this study has made you realize that as Christians, we don't need to confess our sins to a priest. We don't need to confess our sins publicly. We don't need to confess our sins to another person about a sin that they don't even know about, that we should be going to God about our sins and to God only. And that is to stay in fellowship. Confessing our sins is for fellowship, not for salvation. But I hope that you will start confessing your sins daily, and this will help you grow in your Christian life.